So it's Mother's Day, and is it too much to ask that when mom leaves a list, we actually do the chores? Like, is it too much? Mom, you know, she was home for a while, and then she went back into the workforce for a number of reasons. One reason was for her sanity, honestly. But when mom leaves a list, is it too much to ask that the chores get done? Now, I know that when my mom went back to work, there were the three of us boys, and I was the oldest, and then two younger brothers, and mom would leave a list, and the list started out something like this. Dear boys, please make sure the floors get swept and vacuumed. Please make sure all the things get dusted, and please make sure the kitchen gets cleaned up. Now, there were three boys, and you would have thought that we would have been able to divide that those three chores up, and we had all day. It wasn't like, you know, we had a short period of time. We knew where all the equipment was. These were chores that we'd been doing our whole lives. It wasn't anything difficult. And honestly, if we had just done the chore, it's what, 15 minutes, maybe 20? And then it would have been the rest of the summer vacation. You know, the rest of the day, we could run around and be the chuckleheads that we were. But no, for the love of God, World War III always broke out. Because I was the oldest, which meant that you needed to be doing the chore the way I thought the chore needed to be done. Number one, because I'm smarter than you and taller. And so obviously, whoever's the tallest is the smartest and the strongest and the boss. And I had a sneaking suspicion that if you didn't do the chore the way I thought the chore was supposed to be done, it was my rear end that might actually have to pay for your laziness. And so I did not waste any of these opportunities to boss my brothers to death. I would be the one that said, you did this and you did that, and I would let you know when it was done the right way. Well, mom learned pretty quickly that when she left the list, she had to provide a little bit more detail. And so she would break the chores down. Josh, you're in charge of the kitchen. My middle brother's in charge of sweeping all the floors. And my youngest brother is in charge of all the dusting. You would have thought that that would have prevented World War III. Oh, no. Because Josh thought that, you know, you should probably do the chores sooner rather than later because you never know when mom or dad might come home and you wanted to make sure that the chores were done. My middle brother was kind of rebellious and he didn't really want to do the chores at all. And so he'd rather enjoy the day and then do it at some point whenever it suited him. And the youngest one was just hoping that he didn't have to do anything at all and that one of us would cover for him. And so, of course, I had to be the boss all over that. World War III would ensue. So then finally, mom had to start writing in explicit detail for these simple chores that ended up taking most of the day, resulting in bruises for the vast majority of the family and swats on my rear for beating on my brothers. Finally, she had to say, Josh, it doesn't matter what your brothers do. It's not your job. It's between me and it's between them and me. You're not the mom. You're not the dad. Do what you're supposed to do and then walk away. And I thought this morning, in light of Mother's Day, honestly, is it too much to ask that when mom leaves the list, that we just do the chores and move on with our day without it leading to World War III? Because once upon a time, Peter had a problem with Jesus. He actually had a number of problems with Jesus. And what we're finding is as we're going problem by problem through Peter's life, as he is a disciple of Jesus for the 2.5 to 3 years that Jesus was ministering on the planet, that through Peter's difficulties, through Peter's problems, we're connecting the power of the ministry of Jesus Christ with the mission of the church. As these problems are being presented to Jesus by Peter, he's the problem child, he's the one with the problems with Jesus. Jesus is resolving them, and we're getting to see as a church, we all have the desire to do the right thing, but sometimes we don't know what the right thing is, and it's called the mission of the church. And we're trying to connect the dots with the ministry of Jesus Christ with what we're actually supposed to be doing today as his followers, just like Peter was wrestling through when he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be beginning in verse 35. And we're going to be reading through that text. The words are on the screen. If you don't have your Bible, if you do, however, you can join me there. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the third gospel in the New Testament. Here's what we find. Peter's problem. This is Jesus talking. Be ready for service and have your lamps lit. you must be like people waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once. Those slaves the master will find alert when he comes will be blessed. I assure you, he will get ready, have them recline at the table, then come and serve them. If he, the master, comes in the middle of the night or even near dawn and finds them alert, those slaves are blessed. But know this, if the homeowner had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Mom's left a list. She might get off work early or she might be working a full day, but mom's left the list. And blessed are the children who have accomplished the tasks on the list in a timely and workmanlike fashion. You see the similarity here? Once upon a time, a guy went to a wedding, and you know how weddings go. They're fun, especially in a first century context. They could last for days. So when the master left to go to the wedding, he may not be home for days. And the master left the list. Here's the things I want you guys to accomplish to run my household while I'm gone. And blessed are you if when I come home and I knock on the door, somebody answers. Because if I'm out there knocking on my own door and the house is in shambles and everybody is asleep, I'm not going to be very happy. Now, Jesus delivered this parable publicly. His disciples were there. Rocky and the sons of thunder were there. The inner three, Peter, James, and John. As well, the hoi polloi, the people of the land, whoever happened to be there were listening as well. And then Peter says this, Lord, Peter asked, verse 41, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? Because here's the deal, like I'm serving you, like I'm your disciple, like we have a relationship, but it kind of feels like maybe I'm in trouble. Because of my insecurities, because of my questions, because of my doubts, because of my fears, because I've never done this before, I'm not exactly sure what it looks like to be your faithful servant. And so it would really help me out. Like, who are you talking to? Because honestly, as I hear you preach, am I in trouble or is somebody else in trouble? I would really like it to be one of my brothers. Maybe my brothers can be in trouble, but I'm in good shape. Or are you mad at me? Because I feel like I'm doing the right things. I'm serving you. But if this parable is directed at me, are you saying that I'm like the servant that is asleep? Are you saying that I'm like the servant that's not doing all the things? Are you saying that I'm like the servant that when you come home, the chores haven't been done the way you want them done? Because I feel like I'm doing the right things. Honestly, Jesus, what do you expect of me? Like, what exactly do you want from me? Are you talking to them who don't know you, or are you talking to me because I do and I'm trying? Am I doing enough of the right things to keep you happy? Have you ever felt that way? Like when it comes to matters of faith, am I doing enough of the right things to keep you happy? Because of all the people that I want to irritate, God is really low on that list. God, I'm not looking to irritate the creator of the universe. I'm not looking to irritate the one whom I have seen work powerfully in my life. Today we're honoring mothers and Mother's Day. Everyone who has given birth has wrestled with the fact that God has given them something that, yes, they were a critical part of, but it's mysterious. It's amazing. It's powerful. We call it the miracle of birth because that's what it is. And all of us who have brought children into the world understand that whether we know and serve and love Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior or not, we know that God did something for us. Because look, it's you and it's me, but it's got its own brain. How exactly did that happen? And it has its own personality and we love it. And now it's walking around and it's hitting its head on the corner of the coffee table and now it's going to school. Like, this is miraculous. All of us have understood that God is present in our world, and never more so, I would say, than on Mother's Day when we're thinking about what it is, the miracle of birth, and the miracle that our mothers didn't kill us at a young age. I mean, that's a miracle too. I mean, how much more proof of God do you need? Am I doing enough of the right things to keep you happy because of all the people in the world? Yes, I'm not looking to tick off my mother. I'm not looking to tick off my dad. But even if we have a personal relationship with God or not, or even if we wouldn't even use those words to describe it, karma, whatever, we're not looking to tick off the creator of the universe. Am I doing enough of the right things to keep you happy? Jesus, are you talking to these people who are just gathered here, who are meeting you for the first time, or are you talking to me and the sons of thunder? Are you talking to me and your disciples? Because we're wondering if we're doing enough of the right things to keep you happy. How did Jesus, so that's Peter's problem. What did Jesus do to help Peter? Well, the text continues. Lord, Peter asked, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? I have a problem. The Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible manager his master will put in charge of his household servants to give them their allotted food at the proper time? Please understand that in this text, there is an implied relationship and responsibility. The servants are in relationship with the master. The servants understand what the household tasks are that they're supposed to be doing to keep the master happy. That the master has been gone for a while, but he's supposed to come back at some time. This is all part of the implied truth of this parable. And that the readiness of the servants reflects their heart towards their master. Are they serving out of fear for getting a beating, or are they serving because they actually care about the master and the household? And Jesus begins his reply to Peter by saying, who is the good and faithful servant who will be put in charge of the whole house? It's the one that takes good care of the other servants. Picking it up in verse 43. That slave whose master finds him working when he comes will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and starts to beat the male and female slaves, and to eat and drink and get drunk, that slave's master will come on a day he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Here's the question that goes through our minds when mom leaves us the list. If we have the authority to use the cleaning supplies, if we have the authority to go into the broom closet and get all of the gear out, if we have the authority to make a determination about what is clean and what is not clean, doesn't that deserve a cookie? Why don't I have authority of the cookie closet? Why don't I have authority over the Little Debbie snack cake box? If I have authority and input into all these areas that require me to work, why can't I have the authority of all the goodies and all the snacks? And if my little pagan brothers aren't doing what I think they should do, or if they're eating the snacks before I get a chance to get to the snacks, don't I have the authority to beat them? That's what Jesus is saying in this parable. Woe to the servant who takes advantage of the authority that has been given to him and begins to use it for his own gain. And starts to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink, get drunk. That master's slave will come on a day he does not expect and at an hour he does not know. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and didn't prepare himself or do it will be severely beaten. Happy Mother's Day. We're talking about beating the children. That's right. Severely. Especially the ones that know what they're supposed to do and don't do it. But the one who did not know and did things deserving of blows will only be beaten lightly. That's happy. The little brothers and sisters, they only get beaten a little bit on Mother's Day. But they didn't know. Much, here's the heart and soul of this passage. Much will be required of everyone who has been given much, and even more will be expected of the one who has been entrusted with more. Hey, Peter, that's your answer. That's quite the answer. Does that make you feel better or worse, Peter? It kind of makes it feel like the shoe is on Peter's foot now, because Jesus is basically questioning him, how well do you know me? How well do you know me? Do you know the kinds of things that make me happy? Or are you ignorant of the kinds of things that please me? How well do you know me? Because, Jesus is telling Peter, your service is a reflection of what you know and what you have received. Do you know a lot about me? Do you feel that you have received a lot from me? Or do you only know a little bit about me and feel like you haven't received much from me? Because if you know a lot about me and if you feel like you've received a lot from me, then a lot is going to be expected of you. I expect you to treat your brothers and sisters of faith in a certain way. Blessed is the slave who, when the master comes back, finds the head slave, the chief slave, the one who feels the greatest debt to the master, taking good care of those who only know the master a little bit. And if that slave messes up, he's going to get pounded. And everybody else is just going to get disciplined lightly because they just didn't know. So the answer to your question, Peter, is, am I talking to you or to these people? The answer is yes. Because for those who don't know me well, I don't have very high expectations for them. But for the ones who do know me well, I do have high expectations. And specifically, the expectation is lived out in how well do you take care of the household? How much do you know about what pleases me? How much have you received from me? Because the sincerity of our relationship is reflected in your service, Peter. Do you serve me well? Do you feel you serve me well? How much do you know about me? How much have you received from me? And is it reflected in your service? Now, what I love about wrestling with these problems that Peter has is that we have his epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, that he wrote years after these accounts took place. And it's absolutely stunning when we compare where Peter's at in this passage at this moment today, and we look and see what he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, in direct response to the answer of Jesus's question, of Peter's question to Jesus. So what did Jesus do to help Peter? He helped Peter understand that, well, how much you do and what you do for me is a direct reflection of how much you feel you've received from me and how much you love me. How would it feel, moms, if when you went home after work on the day that you left the list and you knew that by leaving the list you were inciting a potential World War III? Because your children behave in certain ways. Some of them are uber responsible. Some of them are looking to slack off. Some of them are looking to play upon their cute looks and their charm. And you know that this is a potentially powerful mixture for good, but it can also blow up in your face. But you're a mom, and you know your husband's not going to do those things. And so those things have to be done. And so in faith, you write the list, hoping that your children sweep and vacuum all the floors, dust all the things, and clean up the kitchen. What happens to your heart as a mom when you come home and find that the list has been accomplished and dinner is in the oven? Now, maybe it's awful. Maybe it's terrible. Maybe dishes are going to be burned. Maybe the stove is never going to be the same again. Maybe it's one of those nights that you just need to take the batteries out of the smoke detector. What happens to your heart as a mom? Truly, truly, I tell you, the master of the house will come home when he finds his servants ready, and he will tell them to have a seat at the table, and he will serve them. The master will serve them. Isn't that exactly what happens to your mother's hearts when you come home and find that not only has the list been accomplished, but because your children love you, they not only perceive the need of accomplishing the list, they perceive the need of what needed to happen next. Few things soften the hearts of our moms than anticipating their need and meeting it before the need is even placed on a list. Peter understood this, and here's how he describes it in 1 Peter chapter 4 in verses 7 through 11. Listen to what Peter is talking to the church in the context of the parable that we have just heard. Now the end of all things is near. Therefore be serious and disciplined for prayer. Mom's coming home. Right? History at some point is going to have a period. It's going to end. Once upon a time, there will have been a planet Earth. That's how this works. That's the biblical understanding of reality. And so therefore, from the perspective of eternity, the end is always near. Because what's next never ends. Mom's coming home. Now the end of all things is near, therefore, be serious and disciplined for prayer. Above all, maintain an intense love for each other, since love covers a multitude of sins. Your little sibling does a terrible job of cleaning up the kitchen. They do. But it's your job as the big brother or the big sister to help the little one cover up their sins. Maybe they think they're cute. Maybe they're being lazy. Maybe they really are trying to get away from something that they know that they can do, but they're just playing dumb and small and cute because that's what the youngest siblings always do. And if you don't agree with me, that's fine, but I'm the oldest. And so that's the way it is. Cover over their sins with love. Cover over. There are people in our church who are pains in the rear. Have you met them yet? There are people in the church that inconvenience you at the wrong time. There are people in the church that say things that they should probably keep to themselves and keep to themselves things that they should probably say. That's how families work. Some of us are potty trained in matters of faith, and some of us aren't. That makes it a real family. What do? We cover it over. We love each other intensely, and we cover it over with love, because love covers a multitude of sins. He's talking to Christians here. He's talking to people of faith. Some of us are potty trained in the house of God. Some of us aren't. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Listen to this. What are we supposed to be doing? Based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. When the master comes, who is the good and faithful servant but the one who takes it upon himself or herself to make sure that the servants receive their food in the proper time, so that when the master comes home, even if it's late and in the middle of the night and the door is knocked, all of the servants are happy and the household is running the way it is supposed to run. That is exactly what he's saying here. As good managers of the varied grace of God, based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others like a good manager. He gives some examples. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory, the power forever and ever. Amen. Jesus, are you talking to us or are you talking to them? The answer is yes. What have you received from me? How much do you love me? Because here's the reality. At some point, as we grow in our faith, it is important that there is a list. It is important that we understand how to serve in River Kids, that we understand how to load the trailer, that we understand how to go on ministry visits to folks who are in the hospital or just had a new baby. There is a certain way to go about the work of the ministry, and it's important that we understand what the list is, because we have a desire to cover over our shortcomings as a people of faith with love, using the gifts that God has given us. Not everyone is going to be good with kids. If that is not your gift, please leave the children alone. Do not torment them with your presence. But if it is your gift, then what are you doing? Serve well. Some of you love the idea of that the trailer gets loaded a certain way and there's a method to the madness. Some of you don't know the right end of a screwdriver. Don't touch any of our equipment. It costs a lot of money. We protect it by packing it well. Some of you have a heart to sing and play, but you have no business being on the platform. Please don't come up here. Sing loud from down there. But if the Lord has blessed you with a gift of a voice or a gift of an instrument, what are you doing sitting down there? Because blessed is that servant that is found doing the right thing when the master comes home and finds his people busy covering over the sins of the multitude with love by the implementation of the gifts that God has given them. Let me answer an important question to you for you right now. Because this isn't something that you get to hear very often. But But it's the ultimate question of how you know you're serving in a capacity that God has gifted you. Number one, just try something. It's better to be busy about something and be terrible at it than to be lazy and feel that I don't have anything to offer, and so I'm just not going to be a part of what makes the ministry of the church move forward. So try something and humble yourself to a process that's going to direct you into an area where you are gifted. But let me share something with you, that once you find that area, it's a little bit magical. It's amazing. He says in this passage that if you have a gift to preach or if you have a gift to serve, do so with the strength that God gives you. You don't get that strength any other way. The only way that you feel that strength is when you're serving in the area that the Lord has gifted you in. If you don't know where that area is, try something. Someone will tell you, hey, not your gift. And you'll get to try something else. Yay, that's a good thing. But here's what happens, is when you find that area, not only do you find empowerment and energy and desire and excitement to serve and to serve well, but to the people that you are serving, and here's what you'll probably never hear, and I only get to hear every once in a while, and it's like, holy. Here's what it feels like to the people that you're serving when you find your answer to this question. To the people that you're serving, it feels like they heard from God that day. When you come and visit them in the hospital after the birth of their baby or after the post-op surgery, and you come and you have that 20-minute visit and you learn how to accomplish the items on a list of what it makes for a good hospital visit, come with a little gift, keep it about 20 minutes, pray with them, anoint with oil if they're still suffering or ill in any way, and you actually go and do that, you know what it feels like to that person? It feels like they were visited by God himself. It feels like they heard from the Lord, and they're never going to tell you that. You don't hear that. When you take the time to prepare that children's lesson at River Kids, and you put a little song and a dance to it, and you put a little craft to it, and you put a little story to it, and you add a little snack to it, you know what it feels like to that kid? It feels like the Bible came alive. They don't have the words for that. They're never going to tell you that. But how I know that that is the case is because from time to time I hear from you, because you love me, you say, it felt like you were preaching right at me. It felt like you knew exactly what I was dealing with. I don't like you that much. I don't know what you're dealing with. That's the Lord. That's me being faithful to, I love you guys, you know that. You're hearing from the Lord. Why? He's gifted me to preach and study his word and to proclaim it. And when I do, in accordance with my gifts, it feels like you heard from him. And it's empowering. Find your place this morning. That's the point. Jesus, are you talking to me or are you talking to somebody else? He's talking to you. You have been gifted with a ministry to serve the church. And when you find that place, might be a little trial and error, it feels like you have been empowered in a way that you've never been empowered before. And people, you may never hear it, but just know, you might, they feel like they actually heard from or experienced the touch of the divine in their lives. Because that's how the church works. Somebody felt like they received something from the Lord because of me. And ultimately, let me tell you about the list. Ultimately, there's no list. You know what mom wants. She wants the floor swept and vacuumed. She wants the kitchen to look kind of clean. She wants all the things dusted. And you know what would really please her heart? If the meal ingredients were at least defrosted. Because you love your mom. That's not hard. Now, the moms that we don't love, we just do the list, sort of. But the moms that we love, the list is not a big deal. And as time goes by and as we grow up, there's no list. There's no list. There's just a relationship working itself out in love because you've been gifted to serve your family in a certain way. That's exactly what Jesus told Peter. Yeah, there's some things you should do, and it should be in accordance with the gifts that I've given the church. But at the end of the day, there's no list. There's love that covers a multitude of sins. So that's the message this morning. I hope that's an encouragement to you. If you are not a member of the family of God, but you heard something today that makes you feel like, wow, I think I need to join with the Lord in this matter. I think I need to give myself to him because I want to serve that guy. It's this it's a decision of faith that you can make quietly right where you sit. We'd love to hear about it, but it's between you and the Lord. Heavenly Father, I have been worried about the list or not worried about the list, but I definitely haven't been going above and beyond, and I'm definitely not serving you in any capacity that I can recognize or call as anything at all. And so I ask you to forgive me of my shortcomings and my sins, the ways that I've failed myself and my family. It's not mysterious. It's not hard. And I ask you to save me by your grace. And brother, sister of faith, maybe it's been a long time since you've realized the Lord's heart towards you when it comes to serving the church because you've had some bad experiences in the past. I get it. Sometimes you do all the things on the list and mom comes home and she doesn't say thank you. And it feels kind of terrible and it demotivates you to serve your family well. And sometimes you've served pastors well. Sometimes you've served in church contexts well where you've served and you've served and you've served and you've served and you've served. And it didn't feel like you ever moved the mission forward. From me as a pastor, even though I don't know if that's your story or not, thank you, because that is a great gift to serve the church, even if it's not recognized. So thank you for your faithful service, and find your area of ministry in this church or the one that you want to join, because you'll be empowered in a way that is absolutely wonderful, and somebody's going to feel like they heard from the Lord that day because you served in accordance with your gifts. Would you join me as I pray and we conclude our time together this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. We thank you that Peter asks all the questions. It's so helpful. Because sometimes we feel like we're in trouble with you, and it would be nice to know where we stand. Father, I pray that through the power of your word, you would bring resolution and peace to our hearts as we have sought you this morning through the power of your word. Father, for those of us who are not people of faith, Father, I pray that they would pray a prayer of faith. You know my shortcomings. You know my sins. You know my failings. I ask your forgiveness. Please accept me into your family and give me a job so that I may be found faithful, because I am grateful to you, and I want to express it through my service. And Heavenly Father, for those of us who have been serving for a long time, energize your church, empower your church, embolden your church. May we see children educated according to the knowledge and the wisdom and the power of God's love and grace as they are taught week by week. May we see families restored, husbands and wives have their love rekindled, children obeying their parents. Father, may we see all of these things through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.